I don't think anyone's like, okay, now time to get into my situationship.
You're almost mourning what could have been, and there's all those like what ifs and why didn't it get to a relationship.
But this is the thing. This is where the gaslighting comes in.
She said it's like when you get a new toy and you're just bored of the old one.
I think I am answering for the crimes of the men around me or something. There's something karmic going on.
There is a special place in hell. Maybe not hell. Maybe
no hell.
Maybe jail.
I reckon the number is like almost 100%.
100.
100%.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Hi, I'm Dee Salmon, and unfortunately, Melbourne's winter has got me good, and I've gone down with a cold. If you're wondering why my voice is all cooked, and if you're watching as well on Spotify or on YouTube, and you're wondering why I have a wad of toilet paper next to me, I couldn't find any tissues. Yeah, things are dire here at the ABC at the moment. But Pip is still away. I actually have been DMing her. She's living her best life. She sent me a photo of Mr. Darcy. She's somewhere in Scotland and said, babe, you would not believe. She saw a first edition of Pride and Prejudice. So very, very jealous. But yeah, she's going to be away for the next couple of weeks, which is really exciting for you to meet someone new joining on the hookup as a co-host. And today I'd love to introduce you to Ben.
Thank you so much for having me, Dee. My name is Ben Ilabucci. I am one third of the Grill podcast on the ABC. Dee was kind enough to guest on our show, so I decided it'd be nice for me to do the same.
Explain how the Grill works for anyone who doesn't know.
Okay, so the way that the Grill works is that every week, me and my two other co-hosts, we bring in something that has been irritating us either recently or just like in general. We each have our time in the sun to explain it, to discuss it, and then at the end, we sort of let it go.
Yeah.
So it's sort of based on us having bugbears or just like champagne problems.
Yeah, like beef. Like you have beef with something.
Beef.
And so your beef when I jumped on your pod was with ghosting.
Yeah.
And how people don't do it properly. So go listen to that episode. But I knew straight away, as soon as I left that podcast, I was like, you'd be great on the hookup. Like,
thank you.
You'd be so good on the hookup. A lot of the stuff you're saying about ghosting, which is why I thought you were the perfect co-host to join us today to talk about situationships.
Yeah.
So
that's
what we're going to get into in this ep. And if you are new, we do talk about love, sex, dating, relationships. And we have an Instagram. At Triple J The Hookup. And this is where you send us your dilemmas, the stuff you're going through, and we pick it apart for about 40 minutes from every single possible angle that we could possibly think of. And that's what we're going to do today. We got this DM from Susie, who said, I've been seeing someone and it's been going really well. We've been hanging out nonstop. It feels like we're basically together. Well, at least that's what I thought until they slept with someone else. They said they've done nothing wrong because we've had chats about how we were casual, but everything we've been doing has not been casual at all. We've even discussed our feelings for each other at length. So I thought that it was just a given that we were exclusive. Who's in the wrong here? Very, very big question. And I think very relatable, which I'm excited to unpack. So yeah, in this episode, we're going to find out what exactly is a situationship, because it sounds like poor Suze is in one. How many people have been in them? Like, how common are they? We're going to hear your stories, a lot of horror stories, if that's triggering to you. Just a bit of a warning. You're going to hear some of the worst situationship stories. And we're going to talk about whether you love them or you hate them, because some people love them. We're also going to find out why we end up in them.
Yeah.
And whether or not we owe each other exclusivity without having the conversation, right? Like, if you're acting like you're in a relationship, but you haven't had the conversation, like, what do we owe each other? All right, let's get into it. So as per usual, we asked you on our Instagram, at Triple J The Hookup, have you been in a situationship? 84% of you said yes.
That's so dire.
Are you surprised by that?
I'm not surprised by that at all, but it is a sad statistic to hear.
Dude, that's like nearly...
That's like everyone.
I know.
And I bet you some of the people who said no actually have been in one
and haven't realized.
Know. So I reckon the number is like almost 100%.
100%.
100%.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Okay, I want to try and unpack what actually is a situationship before we hear from you in the DMs, because we had so many people who were really confused. I feel like that in itself is probably what a situationship is. But how would you define a situationship?
It's hard because, like you said, the idea of a situationship is a lot of the time a misalignment in how you would describe the relationship you're in. But in my mind, a situationship is a relationship with another person where you are doing everything that you would normally do in a monogamous relationship. The conversation just hasn't happened yet about the boundaries of that. I think that's the important part, is that the conversation hasn't happened. Because in my mind, a lot of, you know, monogamous relationships start, the more emotional stuff starts before that conversation happens. So that's pretty normal. But I think a situationship, it's gotten to the point where it's like, okay, we're really pushing that conversation down the road. I think there's like a duration sort of aspect to it, in my mind at least.
Totally. I agree. I reckon for me, a situationship and the ones that I've been in are where it's very obvious that one person has the power of prolonging or withholding the conversation around what are we?
Yeah.
And you are almost having your cake and eating it too. It's like you have everything, all the great parts of a relationship. Like you have the intimacy and the like emotional support and the closeness of a relationship, and potentially you're even meeting their friends and you're like a part of their world and you're like sleeping together and you're talking all the time. But there's a level of like withholding.
Yeah.
And I always feel like it's in the control of one person compared to the other. So I'm really keen to unpack that further about that power dynamic. But this is what you said. So Gemma said, now I'm in a long-term relationship. I've realized my situationship was the exact same premise, just minus the label. 2 years before I pulled the plug, much happier now that there's no ambiguity. So it's kind of what you said, right? It's like, it's basically exactly the same as a relationship. You just haven't had the conversation. Sean's saying a relationship without communication is just that. The people who assume instead of communicating other ones creating the problem. Indy's saying it's the excuse to have a relationship without the responsibility. It's immature. Karina, terminology is different. Situationship seems pretty straight. Benching equals dating, rotating without being ready to commit. Seems to be more communication before you get into something. In my past, bi and queer relationships anyway. And Nama saying, I'm in something right now that's not a situationship because as far as I know from the conversations, neither of us are technically out for the other to want a relationship. That's the definition of a situationship. But I'm certainly not in a relationship. It's fantastically confusing. Low key, the best non-relationship I've ever been in. At least we respect and like each other, but something's got to give. We'll see what happens soon, I guess. So I feel like, the definition from what I've gathered from your thoughts and our thoughts is like, it needs to be basically a relationship without having the conversation of you're in a relationship.
Yeah, you're building ties to the other person without actually speaking about those ties.
Yeah. Okay. And we also got this voice memo from Rosie talking about it.
A situationship, you're just hooking up. You see nothing with this person, but you enjoy the company and, you know, the benefits. Exclusive is different in that you're choosing to focus on that person. So seeing whether you do have something there between the two of you that could be more serious. So it's exclusive both physically and in terms of intentionality. But you haven't fully integrated them into your life. For example, I wouldn't introduce them to my family until after we're official. But we're taking the steps to see what it could turn into without distractions, such as dating other people or like keeping one eye on the playing field.
Interesting. Yeah. That's it feels like everyone has a different definition of it, because in my mind, situationships that I've been in, they have felt like a situationship to me because I do have intention and I do like the person. I do see it going somewhere.
Yeah, that was a bit confusing because I feel like it's almost like Rosie's describing the beginning parts, the very beginning stages of what you would assume would turn into a relationship eventually.
Yeah.
Well, let's figure out what the experts are saying. Like, what are psychs, what are therapists saying? According to Sternberg's triangular theory of love, experiences of companionate and or consummate love are often preceded by romantic love. However, situationships may be experiences of romantic love without the increases in commitment. So I guess that's kind of what I was saying just then. It's like, it's almost like the relationship escalator is not happening because there's no desire to increase the relationship and progress. So that kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of the time you don't realize you're in a situationship until it's like too late. Like, I don't think anyone's like, okay, now time to get into my situationship. That is often the thing with situationships, is that you don't realize you're in one until it's too late, until it is. I don't think anyone goes into it going like, okay, I'm entering a situationship. I personally have been thinking that I was forming a monogamous relationship with someone, and then I realized that it isn't moving the way I want, but I'm stuck because I really like them. And then I'm like, okay, I'm in a situationship now.
Yeah, it's the lack of conversation, right? Because I think some people be like, oh, no, we've like talked about it being a situation. It's like, no, 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 you've talked about being casual. You've talked about it not being a relationship, but that's what a situationship is. And I think this is why situationships can be such a mind fuck, because I think as humans, and this is just my interpretation of having been in quite a few of them, we don't like ambiguity.
No.
Like this is why we have a label for everything now, including situationships, because we don't like the anxiety of sitting in a space being like, I don't know what's happening here. And our brains always try and fill in the blanks, right? Like I feel like in those particular instances of those relationships, like I've always just filled in like, oh, well, no, we must be in a relationship because they told me they can't wait for me to meet their mum.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But you end up sort of being like a conspiracy theorist. You sit at home like, okay, so they spent 20 minutes with me, but those 20 minutes could have meant 40 minutes to them. And when I check their Instagram, they haven't been, and I think that usually happens when you don't know where something is going. I think if you have entered that mental space, that's when it's getting out of hand.
Yeah, and it has for so many of you. So many of you have hated the experience of being in a situationship. Jimmy's saying, I absolutely hate the term situationship. You're either in a courtship and you're actively being courted, being friends with benefits, or being played. Everyone has intentions. It's not just a situation. We will chat about why the situationship breakups are so painful in a bit. That's a huge, huge part, I think, of why people hate them so much. But first, let's talk about our horror stories. Ben, do you have any experience of being in a really bad situationship?
Yeah, I do. And I want to preface this by saying I was young at the time. So like with years since, I have felt more grace for this person because, you know, they were probably figuring themselves out as well. But I was seeing someone where we were seeing each other like a couple times a week and getting very intimate right off the bat. And there was a point where she had gotten like a disposable camera and was like taking photos of us together in the park. And then I was like, oh, do you want to be my Valentine for Valentine's Day? She's like, yeah, I'll be your Valentine. And then we hung out on Valentine's Day. And then like a week after, she just like, you did that, the thing where you start to retract the
withdrawal. She's like slow ghosting,
and doing it that thing where, like, if I showed it to my friends, the messages, they wouldn't be like, oh, they wouldn't have really anything to say about it. But me, as a person who's gotten used to a certain level of emotiveness in the text messages, I was like, okay, what the hell is going on?
You've clocked it. You're like, all right, she's pulling
this back. This is done. And then eventually I was just like, hey, I can tell this isn't going the way that I want it to. I think it's maybe best if we just end things here. Being mature, but hoping she goes, what are you talking about? I love you.
I love you so much.
No, but she was like, I completely agree. Hope we can still stay friends. Wish you the best. I was like, fuck.
Oh, no.
But yeah, that was my horror story. But I did end up like speaking to her a couple years later and I got my time in the sun. I was like, what the hell was that? And she's like, I'm really sorry. I don't know what I was doing then.
Really?
Yeah, which I think is pretty rare. I did get a certain, I got a sense of
closure.
Yeah, I got a sense of closure because I, at the time, felt crazy. She was not admitting that anything had happened.
Yeah.
And to finally have her go, yeah, I kind of screwed the pooch on that.
The worst part is when they tell you like, oh, we're just friends. Like, what do you mean? Like, we're just hanging out. I've had that before. I once had a guy who basically treated me like a girlfriend. Like, we saw each other every week. We went out to dinner. We were like seeing each other on Sundays. We like knew each other's friends. We would like stay whenever he had parties. He always had parties. I would be the one that stayed over. Like, it was like the girlfriend experience. It was like, yeah, we're in this party. He's having all these girls around him and stuff, but then I would be the one that would stay the night, you know? So in my delusional head, I'm like, oh, it's like obviously heading.
Not delusional.
Thank you.
Not delusional.
Thank you, Ben. I was like, oh, we're like heading towards relationship. Yeah. And then I basically like a few moments, I think I tested the waters, and a few moments he would be like, I'm really like, he just would be like, I'm not looking for a relationship. Like he made it very clear without having the convo. Like he would just say things in passing, like I'm not looking for a relationship. Like it's not the right time right now, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it ended up like escalating until he hooked up with another girl. And I had just assumed that, like, we were exclusive because I wasn't hooking up with anyone else and because of the relationship behavior, you'd think. And so that, like, broke my heart and I ended things with him. And then anyway, a month later, he had a girlfriend and he heart-launched her.
I forgot to say this person in my horror story also got a boyfriend of a couple of months after, which she said, I'm not really ready for anything right now. I'm sorry if I gave you the wrong idea. I was like, fair enough. And then she seemed to be ready for someone else.
There is a special place in hell. No, I'm serious.
Yeah. Like,
maybe not hell. Maybe
no hell.
Maybe jail. No. I just feel like if you... What is... I want to do a whole episode on the people who specifically say, I don't want anything or I'm not ready for a relationship. And then a couple weeks later are like fully in a serious relationship.
Well, the obvious thing is that they just don't want to be in a relationship with you. It's
I'm like, don't say that to people.
Yeah.
You know, it's so hurtful.
Especially if you say that to someone, you better wait like a couple of months. Because otherwise I know for sure that you've lied to me.
It's so quick, the turnaround.
I think to go back, I think that's another really frustrating thing about situationships is that it requires the person to pretend like you enter this world where neither of you know how relationships work. Like they trick you into being in this universe where seeing each other all the time, kissing, meeting each other's friends actually doesn't mean anything. There's like I don't want to use that word, but a gaslighting element
totally.
Where I'm like, you know, we both live in the same universe. Like you're not from a different planet or a different culture. We know, we've seen enough movies to know at least that I might be feeling something if you treat me this way.
Exactly.
So and when then, they're like, oh, I didn't even know, I'm like, what did you think was going to happen?
We were just friends. And then you have to go out to the same friendship things, like or parties or bars or whatever, and see them with this now new person.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we had a lot of horror stories from you as well. We got this story from Luca.
The situationship that I was in was with a girl who pursued me. I found it interesting to fool around, and she was my first kiss and first time everything. We were together 24/7 for a couple of weeks, just the two of us at some farm place we worked at, and neither of us wanted anything serious. And then when we left, I wanted to visit her and she wanted me to visit her as well. And we hadn't seen each other for like 4 or 5 days. So I took an 8-hour bus trip to see her. And at first she was really excited, but then she was hooking up with some other guy there, basically in front of my eyes and looking at me with pity and just kind of avoiding me. She said something like, it's like when you get a new toy and you're just bored of the old one. And I said, what the fuck? We've only been exploring for 4 weeks. It could have been casual and fun, but now you hurt me like this. And we never had any exclusivity talks and she already had a long distance boyfriend, which I knew of, and that was fine.
Luca had a situationship with the devil, it sounds like. That is one of the meanest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Imagine being like, it's like having a new shiny toy.
That's something you think and you don't say to the person. I think that is a thought that should never leave a person's mouth, is to be called.
Luca, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we're sorry for you,
Luca. We're really, really sorry,
Luca. You're not a toy to us. You're a person to us. You're a real human being.
Okay, it's making me feel slightly better. I'm sorry that other people's stories have made me feel better, but it's like, this is so universal. Amelia sent us a voice memo as well. She basically hooked up with a friend and they kept having like a casual relationship. It was on and off again and she kept catching feelings and then ending up going back to him. So here's what she said.
I realized that just getting put in and out of this like weird situation should be scenario with someone that's supposed to be a really good friend of yours is probably not the most loving thing to do to a friend. It really messes with my feelings and where my head's at and really makes us very vulnerable to it breaking down, which it did. I decided to call it off. It takes us a few times of still getting back together and then saying it's never going to happen again. I said I needed space, as you do. It really felt like a relationship at that point. And then he had a problem when I went and slept with someone not so long after I said I needed space. Even though we were never in a relationship, according to him. He mentioned that he was really contemplating getting into a relationship and he wasn't sure, but it just didn't feel right because of his trauma with his exes, which, seems like a huge cop-out to me, like take some accountability and also blaming, his parents' relationship on that as well. Which, I just don't think is a really valid excuse. I don't know. I just felt like I wasn't being treated very fairly here. Even though it's something we initially agreed on, I don't know. Not sure.
Well, that's really funny to blame your parents. relationship. Yeah. My parents are in a situationship right now, so I just followed suit. My mom doesn't know where she stands with my dad, and that's just something I've been mimicking.
I feel like the meme is so true, though, of like they couldn't commit because they were once hurt in like the seventh grade by their like aunt's divorce.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I have an Achilles injury, so I'm not sure if I'm ready for a girlfriend right now.
They never made the AFL career. They were so close, and now they need time to grieve it.
She brought up a good point about like someone saying, oh, we're just friends. I'm like, my friends are honest with me, open. They don't ghost. They don't ignore me for days on end. So this using the word friend for whatever a situationship is so like insane to me.
That's such a great point. What do you think, Ben? I'm curious as a guy, because I think there's this like idea sometimes in hetero dynamics that girls are ready to be in a relationship. This is very stereotypical, but this is why I want your thoughts. It's like a bit of a meme, a bit of a stereotype of like girls are ready no matter what period of their life to be potentially in a relationship. Whereas sometimes it feels like guys are like they need all their ducks in a row, or it's like once I finish my degree, or once I like pay off my like debt, or once I like earn enough, or you know what I mean? Is that true? Yeah.
I'm maybe unhelpful because I have been in all of these relationships. I have been the person who has been like, I am ready, and the girls have been like, I'm not sort of there yet. So when I heard that there was like a cultural idea that women are just the ones who are ready for the relationship once you get close enough to them, that like set me up for failure so often. But I do think with guys, from being friends with guys, I feel like all of those excuses are just lies, complete and utter lies to let a woman down. I don't know any time a guy has been like, I can't do it because of X, Y, and Z, and then not being immediately able to do it as soon. If a guy finds a woman who he wants to be in a relationship with, he could be an astronaut and being sent to space for 3 years and still be like, I need to lock this down. Yeah. There's like no excuse that will stop a guy who wants to be in a relationship with someone. So in my opinion, it's just like all complete lies.
See, that's really interesting from your experience though of the stereotype, because you are then thinking like all of these actions that this woman is doing means that she's more likely to want the relationship. Yes. And then that must be so hard when you're in that, and then she's like the one kind of playing you a bit.
Yeah, I've been played multiple times, and of course each time it's been with someone who, and I think you might relate to this, it's been with a person who was like overtly into me, it seemed from the start. Like I would go in being like, oh, I kind of don't know what I'm feeling. And then I would start dating a woman who was very sort of like, I want to see you. Like, I want to hang out. You're so this, you're so that. So I'm like, oh, this is shooting fish in a barrel. I'm a guy and she's really into me. Like, give it a couple months and we'll be in a relationship.
Dating. Yeah.
Nah, I think I am answering for the crimes of the men around me or something. There's something karmic going on. Because I'm like yeah, it happened so many times. Like, this is a complete, complete joke.
It's so hard because I feel like situationships really hurt.
Yeah.
And I think it comes down to that ambiguity, not having like a specific label to be able to then bring them into your life, right? In front of your friends and family. Harry sent us a DM saying, didn't realize how attached I was until I was ghosted. You grieve something that was just nothing. Georgia saying, I was seeing this guy for a couple of months and then he was seeing someone else and I didn't know. And then she asked him to be exclusive and he said yes. And then I had to go no contact with him and it broke me. I was like, yeah, what the fuck? I now hate situationships. And we got this voice memo from Aisling.
It's very confusing to feel intensely for someone and there's that power imbalance because for some reason or another, at least one person doesn't want to put a label on it or doesn't want to be exclusive. That's the thing with situationships, is the reason that they make you feel so shit is because there's always a power dynamic. I felt like I was on the shittier end of the power dynamic. Someone has the upper hand and someone's the underdog. It's usually unspoken, but I think maybe queer people are, especially like lesbians and queer folk, are super communicative. Or one of the main reasons why situationships are so awful and shitty is because when they end, you feel as though you have had a breakup, but you don't feel legitimate enough to say, I'm heartbroken, I've been rejected, I've like suffered the loss of a person or the loss of a relationship. And there's a bit of like imposter syndrome in there, maybe, I'm not sure, but it's awful. And you feel so low in your self-esteem because it was this thing that you're almost mourning what could have been, and there's all those like what ifs and why didn't it get to a relationship and why didn't it get to this point, from the perspective of a person that like wanted a relationship, not from the person who didn't want one or like decided, okay, this isn't for us. I think it's just that awfulness of feeling invalidated by maybe society, everyone else, the people around you, and also yourself.
I agree with that. I think in line with mourning something that could have happened, you also never really get to see the worst of a person. Like a situationship, it's literally all honeymoon and then it ends. So you, in long-term relationships, even ones where you like really love them, and the breakup is obviously awful, but you do at least get to go, oh, but they were really annoying when, you know, they didn't clean up after themselves, or that you can point to things. But when a situationship's in, you're like, it was all incredible. Like you never got to see the part of them that would have maybe annoyed you.
And it's all potential, right?
Literally all potential.
I really like that Aisling pointed out the power dynamic, because that's kind of my interpretation of a situationship, is that there is always one person who is one arm.
Yeah.
It's like pushing that person away or like in control of the pace. And it to me is sometimes so obvious that one person knows that the other would like want a relationship in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And so they get to like control the pace and the fact that they have that power over the person. Also really interestingly, I felt like there wasn't a lot of queer DMs. And we actually posted that on our Instagram. We're like, okay, this is a very hetero response to situationships. And then we like posted being like, if you're queer, how have you experienced them? And it was pretty much crickets. Like there was a few obvious experiences like Aisling and like a few other people. But yeah, I wonder if this is very specific to...
Hetero. Yeah. I do think there are dynamics that are very specific to... you know, cis men and women and how they interact with each other that allow situationships to get to a certain point. I have definitely felt, look, I'll admit something. I have been the villain in some of my situationships. I haven't been always on the shittier end. I definitely have felt myself being in more of control. And I think sometimes in my younger years, I used the fact that I was a guy and that I knew that I could maybe have a bit more control of the pace, because I know that a lot of women are primed for the man to be like, okay, I'm ready to be in a relationship and ask. I would sometimes use that knowledge to just be like, well, if she's not saying anything, then I guess she's fine. Knowing that she is probably
wanting
something. Yeah,
and
more
I think
me.
That we've grown up, right, watching, reading, learning about heterosexual relationships. There's so many rules, there's such a template. And I think that that's something that queer people who are gender diverse and queer have the freedom to not really subscribe to, right? And so I think there's a lot more communication and a lot more understanding of like what's happening because you talk about it more, or there's a lot more acceptance for things that are a bit more ambiguous. Whereas like, I think we just assume like, oh, it's escalating into a relationship when that might not be the case.
Yeah.
Going back to the grief and how painful it is though, we got this voice memo from Emily.
We had become really fast friends, but had zero interest in each other. One night we got drunk and hooked up. We had decided to keep it casual and put some rules in place because I had been in a situationship beforehand and knew how painful it could be. But he pursued me and I didn't realise until it was sort of too late that I had fallen for him. I did try to break it off, but unfortunately I let myself get sucked in again. And then he had stayed over one night, left, and then just ghosted me. So that was probably the hardest part, being ghosted by someone who had become my best friend. And he couldn't even say, you know, it's over, or I'm sorry, or, you know, let's end this. And I didn't know how to stand up for myself. The worst part, I think, is the grief that's associated with a situationship, because you're not allowed to be sad, because, you know, officially you weren't anything, but at the same time, you know, this person was everything to you. And, you know, so you're grieving all of the what ifs and maybes and potential. I really believe, you know, you feel that you grieve for something that was nothing.
Yeah. I think there's another level of feeling it like an idiot on top of also being heartbroken. I think in a monogamous relationship that ends, no matter how hard it is, the other person still has to acknowledge, I loved you, this is over. We are at least at parity in understanding what this was, and it just has to end. Whereas when a situationship ends, you are hurt, and then also the other person kind of feels like they've taken you for a fool.
Oh, it's like a greater sense of rejection, right? Because I think, like, at the end of the day, we all want to be loved and we all want to be picked, you know? Like, we all want to be chosen. We want to be thought of as special. And someone not getting to the relationship stage is kind of being like, I don't pick you.
You couldn't even make it 2 months.
You couldn't even make it. You couldn't even make it to being like, I want to be with you properly.
Yeah.
And so I think that's like an extra like different version of rejection. And the fact that you, like we were saying before, like you don't get to grieve with your friends and your family because like a lot of the time the situationships that I had and ended, no one really knew about the guy. It was more like the guy from Hinge or the guy in the band or like, you know what I mean? And so you have this like 3 month thing where you've been hooking up maybe even secretly and then it is like this really intense whirlwind and then that ends. But you don't get to mourn that because you haven't really told anyone about it. It never was anything. Yeah. Your family is like, why are you being a fucking bitch all of a sudden?
Does your family say that to you?
No, but like...
Dee, you've been a bitch all of a sudden.
But like, you're just moody.
Thanks,
and, like,
Dad.
out of nowhere, and you can't like... Yeah. You can't really explain it because they never met them. I don't know.
Yeah, like we were speaking about the fact that after enough situationships, you do start to get, I think you get more and more secretive every time you get into one. So by the time you get to your maybe last one, you're not telling your friends anything about them. I had a situationship where my friends just knew her by her Instagram handle because I was just, that's how I referred to her. That's how like, that's how she came up in their minds because that's the only, I would like send her, share an Instagram photo with them. And then
that's all
the
they
only,
knew of her.
Yeah, to this day, that's the only name they know her by is her Instagram handle. I also think like, have you ever like had to go into work after a situationship? I have photos of me crying in the middle of a Woolworths because that's where I used to work. Just like on my knees, not because I was crying, because I was stacking the shelf. I'll show it to you afterwards.
Fall into your knees.
But I can show the photo. I'm sobbing. And then if your friends ask you about it, you're like, oh, it was a girl that I met a month ago on Hinge and we like the same movies. And yeah, so that's why I want to throw myself off a bridge right now. You feel so stupid.
It's so true. It's so true. And you're like, but we messaged every day. And
you don't get it.
They loved me. And like, I thought we were going to be
look at how many memes they sent me. You don't understand the connection we had.
It's so real. Oh my God, I feel like I've cried more over situationships than my actual boyfriend.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Okay, this is the like controversial part of the app because I'm really confused by this and I'm keen to hear your take as well as our listeners. I wanted to know, going back to that DM from Suze, right? So basically Suze is being like, I just assumed through the actions of what we were doing that we were exclusive. And then they're obviously so hurt by the fact that they've then found out that they've slept with someone else. So they're going, I thought it was a given. Who's in the wrong here? Like without having the conversation. And so we wanted to find out, is exclusivity the same as being in a relationship? And can you be exclusive with a situationship? And so we asked on our Instagram, does exclusive and relationship mean different things now? 44% of you said yes. 27% of you said no. And 29% of you said maybe. And a similar poll, speaking about exclusivity, we also asked you, have you ever assumed exclusivity without having the chat? 42% of you said yes. 58% of you said no.
I just think if you're exclusive, you're in a relationship. I think it's as simple as that. If you are having the conversation about exclusivity, it's done. Like what else is... what? We were speaking about the idea that a label is for something that exists, not the other way around. You don't label something and then it becomes that. If you are in a point where you are sleeping with someone, you have strong feelings for them, and the final thing, you've agreed to be monogamous, no matter what happens next, it will be a breakup. You will feel like you've lost your boyfriend or you've lost your girlfriend. So you may as well just call it a relationship. I don't know if that's close-minded, but I don't know what people get out of not calling it a relationship. Because... if they sleep with other people, you're upset. Sounds like a relationship to me. You have a commitment to each other. That sounds like a relationship to me. If it
ends... You're saying I love you potentially.
I love you potentially. That sounds like a relationship to me. I think if you were in a exclusive situation with someone and they said, I don't want to see you anymore, would you be like, oh, I feel all right because, you know, he wasn't my boyfriend. No,
yeah,
it's the same thing.
So exactly.
I feel really old school about that. And I've noticed a change happen with my single friends. They're like, oh, you know, we are just seeing each other, but it's not anything yet. I'm like, who the fuck are you kidding?
I've noticed that there's a real split of like, we're exclusive. They've had the exclusive chat.
Yeah.
But they haven't had the relationship chat. And I think I might have even have done these in my relationships where you do have the exclusive chat. Or maybe back in the day, it was just relationship chat.
Yeah.
But then it's been like no exclusive chat, but not relationship chat. And then you have the relationship chat. And I feel like that's the trend that I've noticed change.
Yeah, I guess I was a very quick mover. Like, I think once I know that I want to be exclusive with someone, I'm like, I obviously want you to be my girlfriend. I think any time there was a gap between exclusivity and relationship, it might have been like literally 1 or 2 days. Or like, once we have that chat, all I'm going to be thinking about is, well, if you're not going to be my girlfriend, what the hell are we doing?
I feel like older people listen to this and go, what do you mean?
Yeah, well, I feel old. Well, yeah, whenever I hear this, I'm like, well, you get down on one knee and you be honest with her.
And you say, will you please be my girlfriend? Well, we heard some takes from you as well. We got this voice memo from Sophie.
I definitely think you can be having sex exclusively with someone and also be talking to them every day, messaging all the time, seeing them a lot without being in an official relationship. It all comes down to communication. As long as it's consensual and you set clear boundaries from the start and you know you're on the same page, because obviously it can get messy. Someone can develop feelings for the other person, but I've definitely had situations where I've been exclusively having sex with someone and sex doesn't always throw a huge spanner in the works. I know some people can only have sex with people they feel a romantic connection with, and obviously it's probably more ideal that way, but it doesn't really need to turn into a relationship unless either person isn't happy with that arrangement anymore. So basically, underscore communication is key.
Sophie is in a really happy long-term relationship right now.
Okay.
Just to premise.
Okay.
The voice memo. So it sounds like she's had a lot of experience of all of the, like, you know,
yeah,
the exclusive, the non-relationship, this and that, different types of experiences. I do think that some, especially in open relationships and the ethical non-monogamous community, like, you can have relationships outside of exclusivity. So that to me makes sense.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I think maybe like I'm potentially like a bit, my definition is like, yeah, like if you're exclusive, you're probably just like a couple of days away from a relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you been in something exclusive without it being a relationship?
I think it's to me, yeah, but I think it's more of the like relationship escalator, right? So for me, it's like you've gone from dating to get to know each other to then being like, I'm really invested in this and I really want to see where it goes. So let's just become exclusive and focus on each other. And then it's progressed to like, okay, I'm like really committed.
Okay.
And we're now like long term, like we're like in this, then that's when I'm introducing you to my family. Like, I don't think I'm introducing someone that I'm like exclusive with to my family, but if you and I are like, we're boyfriend, girlfriend, we're partners,
then they're like, then those expectations.
Then they're meeting the family.
Look, maybe I just move quick. I think to me, like, I am pretty much, once I'm ready to stop sleeping with other people, I am ready for someone to be my girlfriend and to meet my family and to meet my friends. I'm honestly ready for them to meet my family and friends before we've even gone exclusive. So once we're exclusive, it's like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm going to be hurt either way. That's what, to go back, I don't understand. It's just adding an extra step where you will get hurt either way. So you may as well.
Yeah.
It all works the same.
Mead said, to me, exclusive equals the only person I'm sleeping with. Relationships are different and likely to follow. Okay, that's kind of how I feel. But communication is key, they say, always, regardless of casual, exclusive, or in a relationship. And Petra saying, in the best situationship of my life, we are on the same page about wanting a future together. We want to get to know each other as friends first. I'm like, that's just dating to me.
Yeah, you're dating someone. Like, I think she just doesn't know what situationship means.
Yeah, because I'm like, you're on the same page. You want a future. You're friends first. Like, you're progressing, I'm assuming, unless they pull the rug.
I went on a date with someone last night. So we're in a situationship. It's like, no, you're just beginning a relationship. It's the start of a relationship.
Yeah, and I think I wonder as well, can you call it a situationship when you're in it? Which is it like a, in hindsight, actually, I thought it was a relationship, it turns out it wasn't. It was a situationship.
I think ironically, once you call it a situationship and you're in it, you need to get out of it. Anytime I've been like, I'm in a situationship, it's because I'm upset and I need to get out.
You need to get out. Yeah. You're in denial.
Yeah.
Keely sent us this voice memo about being casual but exclusive.
I was in a situationship for about 1 to 2 years, which is embarrassing enough. Anyways, so at that time we were considered casual, but we had the discussion and we were also exclusive. Since I was in my early 20s, I did want to go to Europe. Before I was set to leave on this 4 to 6 month trip, about a week before, he decided it was a good idea to confess his feelings for me and that he would like to be in a relationship with me. I was shocked at the time, but I reciprocated those feelings at the time and thought, yeah, let's do it. Like, once I get back, how about we give it a go and we try and rekindle things. So when I was in Europe, we both were single, but we definitely kept in contact. There were a lot of plans for the future. He wanted to go on holiday when I came back. I wanted to meet his family. When I came back, I was expecting us to be in a relationship. We had this wonderful weekend together as soon as I got back. He had planned a date. We had done all these relationship type things. And then on the Monday after I came back, he decided it was all too much for me and he ended up dumping me then and there. I was shocked to say the least because there were a lot of promises that were made. But ultimately, I think it comes down to the fact that he was quite avoidant. And I think it's easy to romanticize a casual relationship when there are no real expectations there. How you're meant to behave in a relationship versus a casual situationship are two vastly different things. And I think the level of effort required in a relationship is a bit of a step up. And I think he must have realized that and he got a little bit spooked when everything came to fruition and everything was starting to become a bit too real for him. So yeah, no hate to him. Shit happens. And I'm now in a good relationship. We're all good.
Love that.
Not with him.
That's a healthy human.
I don't know what is casual about exclusivity. It seems pretty not casual to me.
I just think, thank God she didn't end up being in a relationship with him while she went to Europe. Because
yeah,
I actually was in a relationship and broke up with my boyfriend to go to Europe for 8 months. And it was like the best decision I ever made. And we ended up breaking up anyway. You know what I mean? It's like we wouldn't have lasted. And so thank God she didn't commit to the relationship whilst she was living her best life for 4 months.
Kudos on that.
So another poll that we asked you on our Instagram was, if you're seeing each other multiple times a week, you're texting daily and you're not sleeping with anyone else, is that casual? 86% of people said no. Which I think is a no-brainer.
No-brainer.
But this is the thing. This is where the gaslighting comes in. Because how often have people been in things where you're seeing each other multiple times a week, you're texting daily, you're not sleeping with anyone else, but you haven't had the conversation, and then they have the audacity to turn around and say like, oh no, we're just friends.
Yeah.
Or, oh no, this is casual. Or, oh no, I didn't want a relationship. I'm getting obviously like throwing shit around the room, getting heated. Clearly haven't healed.
That's what I mean, where it makes you also feel like an idiot. Because when someone says that, I'm like, okay, you grew up in this country with the same movies I was watching and surrounded by the same people, unless you were like on a commune or something. Even if you don't subscribe to these ideas of monogamy, you at least are aware of them. So when someone's like, oh, I didn't even know, I'm like, you are just lying.
Yeah.
You're fully lying to me.
You knew exactly what was happening here. But Ben, Katie has a bit of a hot take. She actually disagrees with us. And she thinks we've got too many labels. She's saying that people lean on labels too much these days, and that then dictates how much respect they end up putting into whatever relationship you have. So this is what she said.
I think situationships are such a stupid concept. I've never understood the popularity of the term. People these days are just so desperate to be in relationships. If they can't be in a relationship because that other person doesn't want it, they then call it a situationship because it's better than being alone. I also think when you put the label situationship on it, you're then allowing more toxic behaviors. It's almost like an excuse to accept someone that isn't actually treating you right, even though if that label is switched to a relationship or partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, you would put in a lot more boundaries and wouldn't accept that toxic behavior. I just don't understand why everything needs a label these days. I just really think that we should just go back to dating someone. Why can't we just date and enjoy it without putting labels on it? And hey, if it turns into something more, then excellent. And if it ends, not so bad either. If we're going to use any term, I would definitely prefer taking a lover.
I think we agree with her more than it might sound. I think some of that was in line with what we were saying. But yeah, I do agree.
I don't think that anyone's actively calling the thing that they're
no, in. No, no one's like, awesome, I'm getting into a situationship right now. Like, again, it is a label for something that is unlabeled. So I do agree that it doesn't need its own.
Yeah. She followed with a DM that said, I'm actually in open relationships, one for 2 years. I think people expect me to put a label on her, but to me, he's just sexy name. And I really enjoy what we have. It doesn't need a label, but I guess he's technically classified as a fuck buddy or friends with benefit. But even then, I still don't feel the need to add a situationship or label of any kind. I just enjoy it for what it is. Does it bring me joy? Yes. No further analysis needed. But I agree that it's almost a way of legitimizing one-sided non-commitment. If you're happy, like it sounds like for her and for other people, they love a situationship. It works for them.
Yeah.
They get the casual relationship without the label of a relationship. They get to enjoy ethical non-monogamy potentially.
Yeah.
And the ambiguity of just dating multiple people without having to worry about like what this is and labeling that. So I do like agree. I'm like, yeah, if you're happy with it, then it's absolutely fine. But I think this comes to the misinterpretation of the label.
Yeah, again, if you're happy with it, it's not a situationship. It's a casual relationship. I've had plenty of people I've seen and had a connection with who I would not consider it a situationship. And I don't think they would either. I think regularity of time spent together also goes into it, because like I think if you are sleeping with someone, you know, once or twice a month for a long period of time, I think that isn't a situationship, and I think it prevents it from becoming one. But when you are spending enough time with someone that it's like affecting your ability to explore things with other people or just, you know, have time to yourself or see your friends, and it's not escalating and they're not dedicating themselves to you, I think that, yeah, that's when it becomes a situationship.
And that's when it becomes kind of, quote unquote, a bit problematic on your end. While there isn't any research on whether or not there's been a rise in situationships, I think that's like we've been harping on about, the fact that like we don't really use that label. I definitely think there has been.
Yeah.
And I think we can talk about this anecdotally, because I think due to just the rise of dating apps and everyone being online and the way that systemically dating apps have changed the way that we date, to me, it's kind of like a no-brainer that there is a rise in situationships. And the ambiguity of like just casual dating and not knowing like what this is. Also, the rise in ethical non-monogamy. And this is something that we do know has happened. So some data shows that alternative dating apps like Field reported a nearly 500% increase in mentions of E&M terms in user profiles.
Interesting.
And up to 50% of Gen Z indicate that non-monogamy is their ideal relationship type. So I think if we think about that, and we think about like, open relationships and ethical non-monogamy and how normalized
50%.
Casual. 50%.
Yeah. Crazy.
I know.
I feel old.
Yeah. So I think with dating apps and just like people not really wanting to commit and it just being so normal to just date casually, that we would have like a huge increase.
I think dating apps also allow you to meet people who have no connections to your friends or family, which I think allows a person to just kind of do whatever they want. They're like, hey, I'll see him, and if I treat him badly, it'll end and I'll never hear from them again, and I'll never have to sort of answer for this.
Which is why so many people never leave the talking stage.
Yeah.
Because I think so many people can easily talk to lots of people at once.
Yeah.
And create that intimacy, which is why people get catfished. Create that intimacy so quickly, right? And you're like, oh, but we talked every day for a month and they said they loved me. And like we have the exact same like star sign and like, you know what I mean? And you like think that you are so close to this person, and then all of a sudden you've barely met and they've ghosted you and you're like grieving this thing.
I think dating apps allow you to also sort of, without noticing, get better and better at doing that. You start to see the patterns of what kind of people like to hear and what gets the best. Like, this makes you sound like a sociopath, but I think everyone, like pre-dating apps, you just kind of got to meet people and you don't get the pure influx of human beings that you speak to. So you kind of got to start from scratch each time. But with dating apps, you kind of,
you can
the
live
gamification
in that.
Starts to, you start to go, oh, I kind of see how this this kind of works
and
out.
You can live in that casualness really easily.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to a lot of our listeners who aren't Gen Z or millennial. We have a few, and it's amazing because, you know, sometimes we'll talk about topics like this and they'll be like, hang on a minute. Like, they've seen the generational change. And we got this voice memo from Reva talking about what she's noticed.
I'm an elder Gen X, and I think like a lot of women my age, we just don't play games anymore. We're just going to be a lot more direct with what we want. We're at a place in our lives where we've learned a lot about ourselves, and we just ask for what we want and we seek what we want. I will say that I think the whole situationship thing is a product of the dating apps, because to be fair, in my 20s and 30s, you know, I don't think we had situationships. We certainly didn't have the word. People said they didn't want something serious. You know, they were just seeking casual. So I do think it's a product of the dating apps. And I think now being bombarded with so many choices, not just on the dating apps, but just through social media, I don't think that's helping. A lot of people in situationships are just waiting for the next better thing to come along. They just think something better is going to come along, you know, the whole grass is greener attitude. And I think that social media and the dating apps have really perpetuated that. So when it comes down to it, though, man, ask for what you want and use your words.
Love that, Reva. That was incredible, Reva.
I know. Shout out, Reva. Thank you so much. It's really, really awesome to see. Because, like, you would have, like, people would have seen what we haven't, you know what I mean? And the progression. I have another hot take, which actually is, like, shouting ourselves, calling ourselves out. And that is, I actually think the person knows on some level that you're in a situationship or you're in a situation where someone doesn't want to commit. And you are so scared of losing that person by, like, having the chat and being like, what's going on here, that you purposely don't. And I know this from my own experience. And it's like, I think if I was being really honest with myself, that guy that I was telling you about, I knew that just by his little comments here and there, that he obviously didn't want to commit to me. And I could have easily been like, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You've told me you love me. Like, we're hanging out like we're dating, but I'm getting mixed messages. Like, if I was real with myself, I would have on some level known that he didn't want to be with me, but I chose to just not have that conversation and deal with the heartbreak of hearing it.
Sure.
And so I kind of continued on in something that I kind of knew.
All of the times I've ended up in a monogamous relationship, it's actually been like super easy. There's been no push and pull. It's been like, oh, this is obviously going the way it's going. I feel no ambiguity. I have no fear. And then you end up in a relationship, but that is just doesn't feel as exciting or sexy. So I think it just seems like it'll feel really good to convince someone who was not sure about you. Whereas someone who is sure about you, it's probably the most likely person to be your partner, but it just doesn't feel as like...
You're not second guessing.
Yeah. Yeah. It just also doesn't... He's like, this is happening too easily for me. This needs to be harder.
Yeah. There's no drama.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Kim said, sometimes I'd rather enjoy a good person for a while than continue with the murky waters that is the dating pool. Mm. And I think that's also real. It's like, you have a really amazing connection with this person potentially. Maybe you have really good sex. Maybe you get along more than you've ever gotten along with anyone else. And so you think, fuck it. Do I just continue on in this situationship thing that's not a relationship, but it's better than what else is out there?
Yeah.
Knowing that it will probably end in heartbreak. But yeah, I think that sometimes if we were truly honest with ourselves, like, we kind of know.
Yeah.
Deep down.
You do know. But I also think that if you're in a situationship with someone who you like enough, it also unfortunately makes it really hard to even distract yourself with other people. I think you also start to find other people unattractive in comparison to them. The idea of, you know, not putting all your eggs in one basket is hard when, like, one basket makes all the other baskets look really shit. Yeah. So you just end up getting deeper and deeper anyways because of that as well.
So when it comes to just that communication and being able to suck it up and have that hard and difficult convo of just being like, what's going on here, and be vulnerable, Jeremy is like, lean in, absolutely all for it.
I just don't understand how people find it hard to have the conversation. I'm probably talking about, you know, what we want from a relationship super early. And so I'm super clear about what I want and what I'm looking for. And it's just like an ongoing thing. I feel like I check in pretty often where people are at, how they're feeling, etc. You just, like, you got to have that conversation. Otherwise, you have no idea what's going on. I don't understand how people can sit with the ambiguity of not knowing what a relationship is and what people's intentions are. I feel like you just got to lean into the vulnerability and just talk about it, talk about where you're at, and then that gives them permission and freedom and trust and security to talk about where they're at.
All right, Jeremy. Very mature. Very mature, Jeremy. No, I agree. But I will say, counterpoint, I think I've probably ended up in situationships because I'm also a person who isn't 100% sure I do want to be in a relationship with a person from the start. So during the stage where I'm figuring it out, I don't want to have that conversation because I'm not even sure if by the end that I do want them to be my girlfriend. Ironically enough, I've also been in situationships where I'm like really heartbroken of the idea that they don't want to be my girlfriend. But then if they were like, do you want to be my boyfriend? I'd be like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think that's also an underrated part of situationships.
I think we can normalize like having the unsureness in part of the convo, right? I've seen it in movies and like I've done it myself where you just kind of go like you're communicating the whole time. I think like the older I got, the healthier I got with having those convos earlier on, like Jeremy was saying. And being able to say like, I don't know, but I like where this is heading.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know where I see this going, but like, I'm really enjoying your company or like, I'm really enjoying getting to know you and I'm not seeing anyone else at the moment. You know, like,
yeah.
I think there's ways to kind of check in with each other, even in the grayness of dating of where is this going? And just making sure like, oh, actually 2 weeks ago, I didn't really know where this was going. But now I actually am feeling really close to you and I see potential for relationship. Yeah. I think a good way to kind of wrap this ep up, Ben, is something that Ainsley said, who we heard a DM from before. They said, the toxicness of a situationship will never come from, in my opinion, the person who you're meant to be with, who loves and truly respects you. And I feel like that's kind of what you were saying.
Yeah, I completely agree.
The person you're meant to be with won't leave you in a space of guessing, second guessing and doubting yourself and doubting what this is and like a space of gaslighting and being unsure.
Yeah.
Like they will hopefully respect you enough to let you know. And like you said, with all the tropes that we live in this world, we've all watched movies of like, if you are telling someone you love them and you're introducing them to your friends and your family and stuff, like you are essentially without having the conversation, like leading them on.
Yes, you are. You are. I don't care how upfront you've been about your feelings. I don't care what you say. It doesn't matter if you've given a disclaimer. That just gets to a point where you are doing things that we all understand denote a commitment eventually, or at least the idea of a commitment.
Oh, God.
God.
Oh, situationships. Oh my God. Thank you so much to everyone who DM'd us and sent through your real vulnerable stories. I feel you. I hear you. We've all been there.
Yeah.
It's been a really good episode. I feel like we haven't done situationships, I don't think ever.
This is the first time.
Yeah, which is so wild considering how fucking normal they are and how common. So I hope that you've listened or watched and felt a level of reassurance that you're not alone in what you're going through. And if there's anything that you want us to cover on the Hookup podcast, please DM us on Instagram at @JJTheHookup. And yeah, we'll see you next week.
I won't.
Ben won't, but bye. He says bye.
Bye.